All right, Sunday morning, 9:22:24, the Prophet's Corner Uncut. This goes right along with the previous word called, this is called finding your field. Just as there are many fields in the natural world, there's also many fields in the spiritual world. I told my disciples that he that put his hand to the plow and looked back is not fit for the kingdom of God. I've allotted to each believer their field to plow. Looking back is the turning of the head into another field. It makes a mess in the field they are currently plowing. It is up to the individual believer to find out where they fit. Most are unhappy in churches today because they just go to a fellowship to have somewhere to go. They have not asked me, the Lord of the harvest, about it. You cannot plow and hope unless you do. This is where the disgruntling and fault finding begin. What I place has the grace. There is much contentment in getting into your place and staying there. It takes the focus from looking to man and keeps your focus on me. Does it make sense to look to another field to plow yours? A football player would not seek out the basketball camp to learn from. I remember Keith Moore. He did an excellent teaching. He was talking about the parts of the body of Christ, like body parts, and he said, people, he's talking about you're a finger and you want to be a toe. You go and buy all the toe stuff, toe club, join the toe club, buy the toe stuff. You know, you're going to buy a cute hat to put on that toe. You know, you're going to do all these things to accommodate the toe, but you're not a toe. That's kind of like being in the wrong field. Each minister has a field that they need help to plow. The instruction for the plowing of that field will come from the minister of the ministry. Why would you look to everyone all over the body of Christ to get the instructions to plow your field? Everybody has an experience and writes a book about it, and everybody reads it. Before you know it, everybody's doing the same thing, except what their individual field is calling for them to do. Why money? Oh, write a book. I could write 100 books right now, all the notes I have for all these years. The Lord's not told me to write a book. All right. Now, if God tells them to write a book, they need to write a book. Okay, let me get where I... This is looking back. This is not being exclusive, it is being wise. We love all those in the other fields, for they are doing their individual plowing. It is necessary to focus on the vision that God has given in the ministry that you have partnered with. In other words, there's many parts in the body, and we love the parts of our body, but they're all doing their own function, and that's the way the body of Christ operates. We're not all supposed to do the same thing. If we do all the same thing, nothing gets done. All right. The church today does not get this concept. They are scattered. This is how the thief has been able to come in and scatter the sheep. They didn't stay at their plowing, for the wolf came and devoured them. Everyone in their place and using their grace is like a threefold cord that is not easily broken. I partner with you and the minister. It is a strong cord that is not easily broken. Many have lost their vision, and without the vision, the people perish. The goal is to be single-minded. This will help you to keep your eyes on me and not man. The goal is accomplishing my plan. If you do not fit, then ask me where you do. Renew your mind so you can know my will. When I visited John on the Isle of Patmos and exhorted him concerning the seven churches, I dealt with each fellowship separate, for they all have different fields to plow. Nothing has changed. Men change, but my word does not change. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is contentment in that place because of the grace. All right, we're going to look at some scriptures here. I looked up the word field. It just means the country, specifically a farm or a piece of ground. So God has allotted you a piece of ground to plow. All right, plow, to turn, break up, or work with a plow. You know, what the Lord's having us do, speaking to mountains and different things. What is that doing? It's breaking up the fallow ground. Why? So the Lord of the harvest can send workers into the harvest field and sow the seeds into good ground so the harvest will come forth. See, it's all everybody doing their part. We're breaking up the ground. They're coming in behind us and sowing the seed. And then some want to come behind and water. You understand? All right. Let's look at some scriptures here. Well, let me finish this. To plow, to turn, break up, or work with a plow, to make furrows, to proceed steadily and laboriously. In other words, you put your hand in the plow and you don't look back and you just do it with all your might. Okay, Matthew 13. Can you imagine plowing and looking back, what your field would look like? Like a drunk. Like a drunk plowed your field. All right. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. A great multitude was gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. The whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And I read this in the earlier word. Was it, did I do Matthew 13? Okay. All right. Well, I'll read this one then. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on good ground and brought some fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, he shall have more abundance. Here comes that justness, not fairness. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their ears they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But bless your eyes, for they see, and for your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. He that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, 100-fold, 60, some 30. Another parable put he forth them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while he slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy has done this. Maybe those are those that are sowing in the wrong field, you think? An enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, Nay, well, that's why you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And again, and another parable he put forth unto them and said, The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is greatest among herbs, and becometh the tree, so that the birds of the air and cause the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal. So the whole was leaven. Not all leaven's bad. Good infiltration. There's also good infiltration. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went to the house, and his disciples said unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. This is all one chapter here. You realize this, right? He just went from one parable to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears, let him hear. Another, here goes another one. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's what all this whole chapter is about. All right. We have to be in the field that God has put us in. We don't just get in some field and just start doing stuff. All right. The field is the world, but there are many fields in the field of this world. When you hook up with your field, God hooks up with you. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. My burden is easy, and it's light. All right? Ecclesiastes 4:9 is about the three-cord strand that's not easily broken. 1 Corinthians 9:10 says we should plow in hope. Let's look at that one. When we're in the right field, we can plow in hope. I hate to be someone to go to heaven and they spend all their life in some church and the Lord said, you never did get in where I had for you. There's a lot of that going on just because of religious tradition, traditions of men. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Wait a minute, that's not it. Saith he it altogether for our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope. He that thresheth in hope should be partaker of this hope. That's if you're in your field. If you're not, that's the flesh. You'll get no credit for that. None of it. Hope here means expectation and confidence. That's why there's so many disgruntled people in the body of Christ. They don't know where their place is, and so they never get in their place. And because they never get in their place, they never get the grace. All right. Let's look at John chapter 10. This is Jesus talking here, the good shepherd. Starting with verse 1 there. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Now we always say this is the devil, but I don't know so. I don't know that it's just the devil here. It's the flesh. There's many hirelings. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Have you ever decided you're going to do something and you start doing it and you just realize God's not in this? This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now listen to this. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Wonder what he's talking about there. I guess we'll see, huh? What? No? You do that. What do you mean?
I think he was talking about the fold of those with him right there, but Paul was going to come along, and Paul was going to have a fold.
Well, I think he might mean the ones that are in the holding tank, paradise. I mean, they come up out of the grave, you know. So, anyway. Okay. This structure of fields within fields are like a body with many working parts. I know Marilyn Hickey, she had a teaching called the Grace Gifts, and this is Romans chapter 12. We'll go ahead and read, we'll go to there. And it was good. She was trying to help people locate kind of where they felt like their bent was, you know, towards spiritual things, which I know you can get locked into doing things by this too. You have to be led by the Spirit in this. Also, but right here, Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you go through this process to find out where you fit. You find out God's will for you. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, we're not all just doing the same thing. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. But let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. So we're not to feel like, well, if I'm not doing what they're doing, then I'm wrong. No. You have a part, but we love the other parts. That doesn't mean we do what they're doing. We do the part that God's given to us. If everyone would do that, the whole body would be working. And that's why people get discouraged in churches, because they're dissatisfied and unhappy, because they're not in their place. I think it was Kenneth Copeland talking about if you had, you know, roofer's church, and you got plumbers in there, there'll be commodes on the roof. Yeah. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You know, the toe club? Yeah. And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. If they were all one member, where were the body? You don't need just one big old eyeball. But now are they many members, yet but one body. Now I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. In other words, because I'm the eye, I'm it. No, you're just part. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, even the ones behind the scenes that nobody sees. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant commonness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And rather one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. You need to be happy for them. Rejoice with them, not be envious of them. And rather one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now I won't get into the other, because it's talking about the fivefold ministry gifts that helps all that operate. Okay. All right, let's see what else I got here. Just a little bit. I looked up the word particular here. It means members in particular, an allotment, division, or share. All right, I looked up the word single. I want to look at that. This is Matthew chapter 6. You have to be single-minded in where God has placed you, in your ministry or whatever. All right, this is Matthew 6, 22 through 24. All right, 22. Well, let's do 21. No, 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Single. In other words, if you're an eye, you don't need to be going to the toe club. You need to stay in the eye club. Okay. There's another passage. This is Luke 11. It's saying the same thing. Okay, one more scripture. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now that he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. The other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, he's admonishing us. We are to get in our field and begin to do what the Lord wants us to do and stay there. And don't look to man. Look to God. It's not about what Paul said or Paula said or even me. It's about what the Spirit has said, what God has said. What you're doing is unto him, not to the minister, even though they're a laborer with you, a co-laborer in that field. A lot of people don't get this. They really don't. And I know through all the Word of Faith years, all I ever heard was, well, Brother Copeland said this, and Brother Hagin said this, and Brother Cap said this, and Fred Price said this. It always used to bother me. What, isn't that what was going on? Well, what did the Spirit say? What did God say? We have an obligation to listen to him. And the voice of a stranger we will not hear. All right.